Quebec, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. Cheers from the Pravda Brewery and our friends here at Heavy Seas. We are promoting anti-Putin propaganda here today. All are brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. Oh, I've given away the pink ticket. Pinks and blues. It is Betty Boop. We are doing all of this today with our friend Hugh Sisson, my friend Patrick Russell from Cooper's, and our friends at the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at Goodwill Industries. We had Lisa on last week. Jonathan's going to be on next week talking about all the jobs programs. There's jobs out here making beer. I had Chris Leonard on talking about ales and stouts and porters and lagers. And this is, the Crab Cake Tour is amazing. Thank you to John Martin and Roz. I need some more Betty Boop scratch-offs, but it's amazing bringing old friends together. This guy I've been trying to get on for 6 months, 3 months. How long has it been, Tom?
It's been about 6 months, a good 6 months since we've reconnected.
All right. Well, I want to give you full love. Tom Gavin was Tom Gavin's DJ Delights, who employed me on weekends when I didn't have weddings of my own or bar mitzvahs, or Damien Bohager and Steve were putting me up down at Bohager's, or Harvey over at the Emerald Tavern, or the folks out at Schaefer's where I DJed. But I was, after I was a music critic, and my wife's going to learn things today. My wife, she never met you.
Right.
Until the door,
yeah, until
right?
Today. But I've known her because of the way you talk about her and because of social media.
And did you? Was I ever out of your life? I mean, I DJed from 91 until about 96 or 7, and the radio station took off. And
right.
I, you know, and at that point, it was just sort of like weekends were like, I'm going to the World Series. I can't DJ your wedding.
You always, you know, seemed to be available in the afternoon on Saturdays, which is when the bulk of the parties back in those days took place.
See, you remember stuff I don't remember.
So if I couldn't get
I would do an afternoon gig and an evening gig every Saturday to make money.
Yeah, but not one of mine. We didn't work together. You were only available for us to work together in the afternoon because you always were merchandising or had something of your own at night. I do remember that.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, that's how that business evolved.
Well, you were.
And can I say something?
Go say anything you want to say, Tom.
You were.
I love you, man.
You were the smarter of the two of us because I tell people now that I'm in my new venture. I stayed in that industry about 10 years too long. You got out when the radio station came into your life.
Sure,
you stepped aside, and then that really took off. And we did okay.
Well, you remember me as an old dirty entrepreneur, right?
Like, absolutely. Literally. Well, you were just out of the News American. When you called me, I remember the phone call.
I left the Sun. It was a Sun, but you're right.
I'm sorry. The Sun. Forgive me.
So I called you. Go ahead.
And I remember the house I was still living in, and like three houses
Bel-Air.
Ago. I was still and still am. And we had a conversation. It was like two guys sitting in a bar. Just without the booze, in terms of the way the conversation flowed, the first time we were on the phone together, it's just we clicked right away. And
you hired me right away. You hired me before you met me, I think.
You sold me over the phone in terms of your unshakable confidence and your enthusiasm and your ability. And the only problem was you weren't available enough. I could have used you all the time.
Well, let's talk about you. Tom Gavin was, and my wife is not familiar with you at all. She didn't grow up here, right?
We met when we walked down the hall.
Honey, in the 80s and 90s, if you had a DJ for a party or a weekend or a prom or a bar mitzvah or anything, Tom was like a Budweiser kind of brand. I'm not kissing your ass.
No, not at all. That is,
everybody knows when I kiss somebody's
way.
Ass, and then it is. But like you were the DJ of choice, and you know you weren't cheap, you weren't expensive. You had a million people to work for you,
right.
Doing a million different. And I guess the consistency of what you were trying to provide for a bride or a groom,
right.
You had incredible care for that. You always met with every bride in the way that I did.
Right.
And my nightmares in the middle of the night weren't screwing up the lottery tickets. Sorry, Jack Gibbons. And I did do that. Sorry, John Martin. And I've admitted to that. But my nightmare was that my Jeep would break down on the way to some woman's wedding in Graysonville.
Right.
And it would be on behalf of me or you or wherever. I didn't mind it if it was just a party and I might be a little late. I thought about if my amplifier blows out, if my speaker blows out,
right.
If one CD player goes down, what do I do? If we
right.
lose power, and I always kid Ron Furman because Ron Furman at Max's.
Ron Furman, sure.
You remember Ron at Max's,
yeah.
right?
Right.
Ron is still serving incredible. He serves Heavy Seas beers there. No doubt about it. Ron Furman has known Hugh a long time here. He did concerts there, and I always tell this story about the night the lights went out. talk about a generator. The night the lights went out in Fells Point, the Rembrandts were there. Remember them?
Do you remember once upon a time
when you were mine? So that's just the way it is, baby. So the lights went out, and he convinced the band to play acoustically and had to get everybody to shut up. And he went out and got candles. I mean, it's so crazy.
No, that's surviving and being extra creative.
But if the electricity went out on Tom Gavin's DJ Delight's night wedding on a boat, things didn't go well for the bride.
I would think that five times a year,
you must have had a bride that was pissed off. And I'm thinking, oh, God bless Tom. You know, I mean, you. How many years for you? Give me, because your background was radio. You loved me because I was on the radio, and you would always love the radio.
You and I connected with when I was in. And I'm 67 years old.
No,
yeah, 67.
I'm 53.
Right. Okay. Well, I mean, just you know, and neither one of us look our age, and I'm going. I think our energy.
Well, you've gotten sexier,
right?
I don't know about the two of us.
So I started in high school in 19. I was in 72, and there was an ad in a little penny shopper that came to my hometown on a Wednesday night. And my
where were you from?
Greenfield, Massachusetts.
Now listen, I know something about you, and I'm going to give you this right now. You ready for this, Jen? You ready? Penn Jillette. He knows Penn Jillette for real, right? Am I right?
Penn
or
and I sat next to each other in algebra. And it's just a true story. And
listen to Tom Gavin.
Same
you think this segment's not going to be good? Yeah.
Now, this is back in the 70s, yeah. and there was a computer. We had a computer room in the high school, Greenfield High School. And if you wanted to find Penn and a few other of his buddies, Colin and the rest of the guys.
But towering Penn, over you.
That's your, oh, my God. He was as tall then as he is now. And you know what? He was just as outspoken and entertaining and witty.
Engaging.
Witty. Interesting. Then,
Penn Jillette is one of the most interesting men in the world.
We graduated Greenfield High School in 1973. And we always knew where Penn was. He was always down in the computer room, which the computer was about.
Computer in 73?
72.
They didn't have computers.
We had a computer in the high school.
Biggest building.
In the computer room. And you could always find Penn.
And was this course, a rich community? Course, I mean, how did they get a computer?
He juggled. He was a juggler back then, and he rode unicycles.
Dealt cards, no doubt.
Yes, he did. But what was your question?
The computer room. I want to hear more about the computer
room. It was a high school of 700 people. In a town of about 18,000.
How did they finance a computer room?
I'm just thinking, getting that through city council.
How does that happen? The school board, we had selectmen.
It was a small town.
No, I went to school in the late 70s, early 80s. We had get one, take 10, get 20. You remember those? Remember the little punch cards?
Well, that's what they had in this room. Now, I wasn't that actively involved in it, but if we wanted to
find
Penn
Jillette was.
First of all you had to do was look around. He's the tallest guy.
If I ever get him on, I'm going to ask him about the punch cards at Greenfield?
Greenfield, Mass.
All right.
I met him. I saw him in Vegas with a show when Damaris and I went there a couple of years ago. And, of course, the show was awesome. And, you know, he had the meet and greet after.
Penn and Teller.
Well,
on your way out of the show, they're standing waiting for you.
And this is like.
You'll never forget
that. It was
that.
A 10
it's
o'clock
incredible.
Show, which means it's 11:30 now. And I'm thinking, this guy's been cranking all day.
They've been shooting bullets at each other through glass and eating.
And Damaris said.
It's a letter green.
And I've got a Red Sox, Boston Red Sox, pullover on.
So you look ugly.
Right. Absolutely. But it was a windy day. We're walking around and I get in line and I didn't want to, but my significant other kept pushing me. You got to go say hello to him. So I went up and said to him, now I don't know if he remembered me or not.
But he pretended he did?
But he did. And he says, you're not Tom Gavin. And I thought, I'm going to assume that he did, and if he doesn't, who cares? And we took a photograph.
He's Penn Jillette. He knows everything.
It was great to see the man.
That's so beautiful that you connected with him. He hadn't changed.
You know, this Penn Jillette you see on television was the guy that I sat next to in algebra at Greenfield High School.
That's beautiful,
same
man.
Person, yep.
Tom Gavin's been my friend for 3 decades. This is my 31st year on radio. We're going to do 31 crab cakes in 31 days. We're going to do 31 breweries. We're at Heavy Seas. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. You're going to... do you want the blue... I'm going to give you a blue Betty Boop because you're wearing blue. So you get the blue Betty Boop. All brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. Let yourself play. Make sure you're helping us out there and our friends at Goodwill Industries as well. So I've known you all these years. The Penn Jillette thing hits me... And we'll talk about music and cassette tapes and MP3s and like CDs and all the crazy stuff I did. But the Penn Jillette thing, I always remember that about you.
Yep.
And I thought he was from upstate New York and you were New York. I didn't associate you with Red Sox until I see you on Facebook now.
Right.
And I don't know, was I out of your life? Did you? I mean, I've been on the radio 31 years. I mean, you've been in the car. You were out of my life until maybe a LinkedIn here
right.
10 years ago and then a
yep.
Facebook there 5 years ago. I don't know what you, my wife's been now 8 years since she was diagnosed with cancer. And God, it's been 9 years since we won the Super Bowl and I wrote Purple Rain. 10 years since Billy Cundiff missed the game. Just going backward,
right.
the
right.
Orioles memories that came back to me this week. But the Penn Jillette thing stays with me with you, and I've met Penn Jillette two or three times because I've seen them two or three times.
Right.
Seen
yeah.
them in Vegas, saw them at the Lyric.
Same thing.
And they stand at the out.
Right.
You walk by and, you know, and Penn Jillette's there and Teller sort of talks to you a little bit.
Right.
And he's
right.
kind of nice and kind of quiet and hot, you know, but on stage he doesn't say it's,
no.
it's part of the act. Right. And I've seen him take the bullets in the mouth, like all that crap. 1999, Scott Panion, love you, Meatball Monday on Monday, and I'll be participating in Meatball Monday at Amici's as well, takes me to Paris and to Spain to see Bruce Springsteen on the first reunion tour.
Right.
From Tunnel of Love all the way through, mm-hmm. so Clarence, Stevie and Niels Lofgren and Gary W. Tal and all them. So I saw five shows in Europe, and I was bruised up. I was nationally syndicated.
I remember. I used to listen to you.
Okay, so I was doing Nasty yeah. Nation.
You were on an afternoon, though.
I was living yeah. in New York, and I had Springsteen tickets for the... It literally, if you get the box set or you get the three-disc set, it was taped at Madison Square Garden. Not the night I was there, but one of the nights.
Right.
He did like 12 shows. No, it might be like 14 shows. And the legend is they all were $1 million gates every
right.
night, and he gave the gate to every member of the band.
Mm-hmm.
That's the legend. The legend is they all got $1 million bonus at the end of the tour for doing the Madison Square. It's the way he set it up.
And there's right? nothing, no reason to believe that he didn't.
No, I mean, this feels
because
factual.
It's a great story, and
so,
the image that Bruce Springsteen has is that he's a warm, generous human being.
So this is 1999,
right.
so like there's Mets-Yankees World Series, Jordan's coming back to play
right.
for the, were they Wizards or Bullets? I don't know what they were, probably
right.
Wizards then. And I'm in New York, and I score tickets. I think Kenny Albert may have got me these tickets as a shout out, right? So there were really nice seats on the side, and literally behind me was Penn Jillette. He's this big,
yeah,
and you
yeah.
know, and the old garden was those boxes
right.
with the railings. Mm-hmm. This is before they remodeled it, right?
Right?
I mean, my wife's been in a new one, but this was the old one where I saw Kiss. So Penn Jillette's behind me the whole night, and this was Bruce doing 3 hours and 28
right.
minutes, rolling through My Love Will Not Let You Down and Rendezvous and the entire river and the old school stuff. And Penn Jillette was just like, you know, like digging his Born to Run and the river. And that's what, like, and all I could think about is Gavin went to high school with this
that's
guy.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
Literally. So
yeah.
Tom Gavin is here. You're no longer DJ the Lights. I've never said Tom Gavin realtor.
Right, right.
I've said,
yeah.
give me a little transition here.
All right, here's what happened. Like I said a minute ago, I really felt that after I got out of the industry, I really had stayed in it 10 or 12 years too long because it was...
When did you leave it?
It'd be 2015, and it was one of those remarkable moments in your life when you'll never forget where you were. We did a lot of business with a number of catering companies around town.
Sure.
You know them all.
Oh,
you
yeah,
know
yeah,
them
yeah.
all. And
you call me and say, you be at Martin's at 8 o'clock, and it's
Martin's,
soul music.
I need you to look good for me because we're going
you know,
to Martin's.
I need you to have Cameo while you're ready to go.
Right.
And the Commodores, because that's the wedding it is. And if you're in Glen Burnie, you need to have the Hokey Pokey, and you need
right.
to have the Boot Scootin' Boogie.
For so many years, that was the way it was
My
done.
Wife, when I'd say, way down the yonder on the Chattahoochee,
yeah.
she's singing it. She
right.
didn't know. I did weddings at Glen Burnie. I was at Michael's 8th Avenue. So
right.
you had to know
May
that.
May they rest in peace, unfortunately.
God bless
yeah,
Scott and Michael.
Right.
Yeah, I love them.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So we're I'm and to a point in my life that I'm thinking, what's the next thing for me?
In 35 years, DJ?
About that, I guess. I guess I started in, full time, because the woman I was married to and was at the time, and we had a great run together, but she actually said, you can do this full time. You've got the marketing and the sales skills, and you can talk to anybody. I mean, we're very much alike that way, is you and I can
I told my wife you were a special guy.
I'm telling you.
I said, this is a special guy in my life,
Nestor,
that you've never met. 19 years.
Yeah, congratulations. So you and I can walk into a room, and before the party or event is over, we know half the room between the two of us. And so I said, when I was married to at the time, said, you can do this. You got the contacts already. You know some of the big caterers already, just because of showing up at the halls and doing some events. So she pushed me into doing this full time. And then it became, over a couple of years' time, a monster. That's about the
you
time.
You did very few gigs, right?
No.
You were like, man. I saw you do a gig or two, and when somebody woke up with the sick or whatever,
you have to post.
You pinch hit.
You have to, same in the radio business.
No doubt
right?
about it. Same no doubt about it. Yeah.
So somebody had to run the thing. And somebody had to take care of the problems and the details and schedule. And I loved everybody that I ever came in contact with in that industry. But I knocked on more than a few doors on Saturday morning to make sure guys were awake and up and dressed and ready to run for their
event. It was a wedding. You could not it up. And that was a level of commitment and integrity and character and getting there and punctuality and professionalism that has served me my whole life, Tom. I mean, to this day, my wife would tell you it's a code with me.
Right, exactly.
It's a code with
three
me.
Biggest.
I show up. You get up and you listen to WNSD AM 1570. You're getting me. You're getting everything.
Three biggest days in people's lives that I have formed this opinion in the last few years. The day you marry your soulmate. The day you buy your dream house, and the day you give birth. I think those are the three most important days in
someone's
life.
This is probably a good segment for me to tell my wife that my son and his wife are talking about grandkids and stuff, and it's like really weird for me, and it makes my sphincter shrink like this. No, we're not going to be grandparents. No, God bless. Right. Aubrey, if you hear that, remember the Bee Gees belt. By the way, I've gotten into collecting belt buckles. Can you talk about like your love of music and your life right now? Because you have a beautiful marriage. You have a beautiful life. You're doing realty.
Right.
Anybody that knows Tom Gavin's DJ Delights was Tom employed me and helped me feed my son when he was 8 years old. And I was Nasty Nestor and I had hair down to here. You like the hair, right?
I love it.
You remember the hair.
I love the look.
Did I have long hair when I met you?
Yes, you did.
Yeah! I did see that. I told you.
You
My
did.
Wife wants me to get a cut. Paulie, I'm calling you.
Right.
For you to do this business, and I find you, you find me, where was the top of it? Were you doing 200 events a weekend?
Not on a weekend, no. We would.
I mean,
200?
It felt like you
well,
you had
well, we were connected
cruise,
with
man.
The with the cruise ships at the harbor,
right?
When they were, we might be doing 50 or 60 a week down there because they had for a while they had three vessels going.
Sure,
but that it became a human resource nightmare, scheduling nightmare. Just and was too much for one person to handle.
Did the iPod put you out of business?
No, not at all.
No,
because
people could
second.
Put something together, but you want a human
you,
at your event.
But you want someone that knows how to flow the party. What do you know with your station here? With your you have certain programs are on at certain times for a certain reason.
Can I give you my favorite DJ tricks? Because you're
right.
like, what were your favorites? If you did my wife's wedding with me right now, we're getting remarried. It's our 20th anniversary coming up soon. I guess we are. If we are and we're having a wedding, you would meet with us, and what would be universal to what you would do?
The way that I would approach it would be similar to a hot clock on a radio station, because
okay.
when we were on the air, and I started in a small town in Vermont, and I ended up in Springfield, Mass., and in Hartford, and then Rochester,
it's
New York.
It's my wife's territory
and
over there.
And Cincinnati. Yeah, you mentioned New Hampshire.
WKRP.
Yeah, and I was in Cincinnati. My last stop, and that was not for very long, because I had worked for my GM in Rochester, station switch.
What did you
format.
Play? Classic rock?
With the
well, there
the,
was no classic
well,
rock.
FM
was, it was real rock then.
The FM was Chicken Rock Top 40, and it was doing well. And the
what
AM,
years?
78, 79.
Oh, man, you're playing Greg Kinn.
I was there when the O's were in the series here.
79.
And I was on the air when it snowed.
In Rochester.
In one of the games. Right.
Well, and I had tickets for that game.
One of the games, I think, had snow in Baltimore.
We did. I was
in World Series of 79.
I was in Holabird Middle School looking out the window watching it snow. I had tickets for the game that night, 1979. And I'm like reading Consumer Reports because I was weird like that. Yeah. And I remember that.
So we end up in station, had a station management flip. And it's, you know, we've all been through that. You were in that industry. And
sometimes I was the flipper.
And sometimes it was just, they moved us to Cincinnati, and we had a great run there, but it didn't happen for long because then they flipped the station.
So you were in Cincinnati in 79?
Was probably
some decent 80, Reds teams, 80. Right?
Yeah. Red machine. I wasn't there long enough because the station flipped format, and they won R&B and soul because they took their AM and flipped the format to FM.
Okay.
The consultant said, you better do this now before
that was the time AM and FM happened,
before
right?
somebody else does. So then,
well, 98 Rock celebrated their anniversary this week at Kirk McEwen, and I'm like, you know, nobody believed in FM radio in 1979.
Oh, no. It wasn't even on. Even included in cars.
98. No, you didn't hit Philco. There was
right.
5, 6, 8,
right.
10, 14,
yep.
right?
Right.
1570. Make sure everybody gets that one. But and it was
I
a little.
I came here the weekend that Harbor Place opened, and they
July 4th, 1980.
Right, and they flew me in, and I got off the plane, and I had never been, I'd never lived in an American League city. I'd never lived in a big city, and I thought, I did a dozen games in Boston every summer.
God, the Orioles, you for the strike, right? The Orioles
right.
were good in 80.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Orioles, Yankees, oh,
yep.
man, McGregor
yep.
and
in fact,
Flanagan.
I went to a couple of practice games against the Phillies when the season was on hold before
strike.
During the strike, right?
81, okay.
So when I got here, I remember my father calling me, and he says, it's time that you stop moving around the country. And the fellow that I was working for, his name was Ron Stratton. I mean, you've had mentors in your life. I've
sure.
had mine, four or five. But this guy was really saw something in me that maybe I didn't. My father said to me, he says, stop moving around the country. Follow this Ron Stratton fellow. He's looking out for you. You're a 3 to 4 hour car ride up and down 95 where you are from about 16 million people. Between New York City, Philadelphia.
Right where we are right
Washington,
now in Halthorpe. Halthorpe,
Maryland, Washington, D.C., Northern Virginia. And he says, if you can't make a living, and not so much a living, but a dent in something, doing something and being a market leader, then I raised you wrong. And I've never forgot that's
beautiful.
Statement. Yeah.
That's beautiful. Yeah. Tom Gavin is here. He was DJ Delights. We're having some beer. We are celebrating our friends at Heavy Seas. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery and our friends. I got to open this up. My Betty Boops, let yourself play. And our friends at Goodwill Industries as well. I just want to take you down this road on music and playing songs and stuff like that. I have so many memories of that and lugging the PV-1502s that I still have.
The amps is what broke my back, the heavy
oh,
amplifiers.
Oh, my God. Yeah. And the CDs. I had toolboxes full of the CDs mm-hmm. is how I did it. And I took the CDs out of the jewel boxes.
I remember those.
But my back, I still have them. 30 years later, my wife will agree I have all every CD I ever had, except for the ones that were stolen by former employees.
Right.
Shout out to you, Randy. So I would say this, these toolboxes that now house my CDs right now, mm-hmm. Beatles,
yep.
Bon Jovi, Led Zeppelin, Engelbert Humperdinck,
right.
Frank Sinatra.
Right. Power songs.
They went everywhere with me, and I think about Harvey Myers at the Emerald Tavern, who had a little setup in the corner of the bar, and I think about what was the place on York Road that had the pizza where I met Joe Enoch? I'm trying to think of the right name of it. It wasn't Schaefer's. He'll remind me when he watches this segment. But these places where I DJed on Wednesday night for Loyola College night right. and Thursday night and Sunday night was Emerald Tavern and Friday and Saturday I was at Bohager's and different places and these accounts and the music that every time I play the Spin Doctors or I play Slam or I hear songs of right. that era, I think of this music is so more than taste, more than sound, more mm-hmm. than smell.
Right.
You could smell a perfume and think of a girl, or smell a fruit and think of an island, or smell a beer and think of a bad night in Ocean City. but music, man, the minute you hear REO Speedwagon or the Bee Gees, and this is my Bee Gees, this is my belt buckle here.
Right.
I got a Bee Gees belt buckle. When you hear these song, music is the backdrop of our lives. I believe that.
You said REO Speedwagon. When you said that, it clicked in my mind. I thought Rochester Americans, because I was.
What did they play? What was the song?
They were whatever.
Keep on loving you.
Right, keep on loving you. But anyway, but just their time on the charts was I had spent in Rochester with the name.
That's a piece of your life.
And we carried the American Hockey League. We carried the games on our station, and I remember that was, you say that, I'm thinking, oh, that was a Rochester song.
Did you see Ripken play in 80-81 in Rochester?
I didn't. I had moved from Rochester to Cincinnati, but we'd heard of him. I mean, obviously we heard of the family, but Silver Stadium was where they played.
Naomi Silver.
Right.
She fired Peter Angelos. God bless you, Naomi Silver. Tom Gavin is here. He was former DJ Delights, and we're promoting Pravda and our friends at Ukraine, and the war is on. Obviously, there was a brewery near Liev that makes this American red ale, and they put their recipe out online. Hugh got it. We're here. It's brought you to. I've been trying to get you on for a couple months. Red Sox, baseball, sports, your life. You're married. You had this.
Well, I'm not married, but I've got a very significant other.
Yeah, but you've had this like other thing. It's inspirational to me because I think of you as DJ the Lights, but you've done realty for a dozen years, right?
Let me tell you how that happened. My phone rings on a afternoon in the summertime of 2015, and it's one of the sales gals over at Martin's, and who's been very good to us for many, many years. And she says, I got this customer. They're Puerto Rican, but they're having a big, big party and a lot of people. It's top menu. I need your best guy. And I said, fine, give me a call. Nothing. I don't hear.
And Gavin's like, I'll call Nestor.
Well, I'm thinking, and we're back in those days, you know, you and I would say, oh, yeah, we can do anything, right? I don't even think about it, a process. I say, yeah, we can take care of it. Sure, just have the girl call
me. Well, in the modern era, doing Puerto Rican music, you just have to have the right music. I would not have had that
no
at the time.
No clue.
All right.
And for some of the events that I had taken on personally, Latino music to certain people is different to other people.
Oh, I'm Venezuelan. If you want merengue, it's
you
different.
You can stand
than
up there.
Puerto Rican and Venezuelan is different.
Right.
Once you travel the world, it's Japanese and Korean.
Correct.
It's very different.
My phone rings about 6 o'clock in the morning one day, and I have no idea, don't recognize the number, and I'm not answering it. And so I hear the message later, and it's this young lady. Her name's Damaris. She says, Kitty at Martin's told me to call you. We're having a quinceañera. My father was supposed to do this. Can you call me back? I called her back, but it took another 2 weeks to get her on the phone. When I finally get her on the phone, we're talking about the party. It's a very high.
What time of year is this?
Well, the party was in August.
See, if it was in. I get so Coquito. And we were. Yeah, see?
Coquito we have on Christmas time.
I know Coquito.
Right.
I knew. John Spurrier, I love you.
Right.
Absolutely.
So the conversation.
I owe Odette. Odette Ramos, you got to get back on the show. Go ahead.
I said, yeah, we can do that. And she bought everything. She said, my father's going to pay for it. And I wasn't trying to
upsell.
Because Martin's was very good to us for 30 years.
I just want to do a good job.
I want to do a good job, but the deal we had with them was, you know, certain events they kept the money, certain events I kept the money, and here's a profit center between a photo booth and the uplighting and you know the other stuff they bought. And I'm thinking, I wanted to find out. And again, this is all business. There is no. Like some guys,
you're just trying to do a good job.
There's a lower layer of intent.
Right.
Nothing at all. I had just finished a train wreck, both sides, train wreck of a relationship, and I said, I'm done with this. I'm just going to live on my own. I want to find out what this girl does, and she sounds very articulate, very together. She's a real estate agent. She's driving a brand new, cheap Cherokee, high-end. And she's a single mother, and the father's going to be at the party. And I'm thinking, okay, let's talk about the party. Now we're done. Let me talk about you. Tell me how you got to where you are.
Salesman Gavin
well,
took over.
I want to find out because I admire people and their success stories because I'm going to learn. Here I am trying to figure out what I'm going to do next
now
with my life.
Now you learn with Baltimore Positives all
right. And I'm a faithful listener, and I want you to know that. And so she starts talking me into, not talking me, but she's explaining what she does. And I'm thinking, this girl's a freaking rock star. And I said, I want to know what you have for breakfast. What are you doing that I'm not? And again, it just one thing led to another. It was all business for about 3 months. And then at an Oriole game, and they were playing Toronto that summer.
Well, I have real Blue Jays in my backyard now. You ever see a real Blue Jay? They're so beautiful.
I probably have.
See, my wife laughs at me. She's from New Hampshire, right? I don't interrupt, but like she has Blue Jays everywhere. I've never seen a Blue Jay other than once in a while at my radio station.
I don't know if I've seen them here, but I saw them in New England.
We have them at the place we live now, and you know, I saw them a few times at the radio station 20 years ago, but didn't pay any attention.
Right.
Now we have them.
Well, your world
and like every time I see a Blue Jay, it's an incredible thing for
right.
me. So anyway, the Blue Jays were on. Go ahead.
So I mean, so we and she turns to me and like we're just separate,
Blue Jays at Camden
separate cars, separate checks, separate destinations at the end of the night. If you get my drift, both of us are just because I used to kid around with her. Listen, when you and I can say this here, when you get naked, everything changes. And I did not want to.
That's true.
I didn't want to.
That's true.
You know, can you say that?
That's true.
It is true. And so I respected her. I had met her. Anyway, I respected her and her vocation, and she was.
How many years ago is this?
2015.
Man, you've been in love 7 years. Look
right.
at you, right?
And so
change your life.
Next thing I know, we're up at Fenway and we're driving back. And she
look
says,
at that.
She
Fenway.
Says, I want you. I'm on the Mass Pike. I almost know the exit number where this conversation took place. We're just past Framingham, and she says, I want you to sit there and just not say a word until I'm done. And I have no idea where we're going. And she pulls out of her bag notes, and she had written a presentation about how she wanted me to go into business with her.
Oh,
and
all
she
right.
says, you're the guy I need. You're outgoing and ambitious, and I need somebody to open doors in terms of listings. She was a great buyer's agent. And, I mean, she got like 3 or 4 minutes in. And, you know, when you're really connected.
How long you been in realty at this point?
Nothing. Zero.
Zero.
But, you know, you and I were in the people business for 20.
50. So you still have
me for 20
Gavin's
years.
DJ. All right. So.
And I'm thinking, I mean, I think she walks on water. She thinks I walk on water. I think I can do anything. So I said, listen, stop right there. I'm in. And she's, no, I got all this other stuff I want to go. No, just stop right there. I'm in. Tell me what we got to do. And then it just evolved. We had some great people in our lives after that, some great branch managers. And we flew to Dallas and I hired a real estate coach. I mean, my life did a 180 because of this girl. And it was parallel to a lot of the things that you and I have both done in terms of the people. You're a marketer. You're a hustler. And I say that positively. For anybody listening, there's nothing negative about that. You're not afraid to take a risk. And
Kurt McEwen used to call me a self-promoter.
You are.
And I took that, like, I pissed me off back
no.
like, 25 years ago.
No.
Now, like, and Mickey did too. Mickey hit me today, by the way.
I saw the
Mickey,
interview.
I love you, by the way.
Great interview with Mickey the other day.
Mickey hit me today about an issue that's off the field, which was good.
Okay.
And I appreciate that. So I just want
anyway,
to give some love. Hey, man, we're getting some beer, right?
6 months later, I was into business.
My wife will tell you how many. I shook hands with Mike Tomlin and rubbed up on him for about 2.5 hours the other night. I haven't hugged many people. I didn't even hug. John Harbaugh went elbow. Ingrid Harbaugh went elbow. Bisciotti went handshake quickly, and then I washed my hands. Trying to think of anybody else I. Here, I'm going to give you
right.
a hug. All right, man. I haven't hugged many people.
We go
that's true.
Way back.
Tom Gavin. Tom Gavin's right. DJ of the Lights now.
Tom Gavin's home team of Coldwell Banker Realty. But it's we're in the business of helping people. That's all it is. You're in the business of improving.
What are you selling? Homes in Bel Air?
I'm selling from a. I was in Annapolis yesterday. We listed two properties down there. And I'm not here to boast about our success, but. The entertainment, man, three biggest days in your life. Buy your dream home, have a baby, and marry your soulmate. And then indirectly, you play a role in all of them because of what you have done here in the radio business. But we're in the business. I'm in the business.
Well, when I was
people.
A DJ, I was trying to get people a little closer.
Nothing wrong with that.
Always and forever.
Well, you take them away from their trouble. Music. I was going to get onto the music thought you had. Music takes people away from their trouble.
That's why I got my Bee Gees. So today, I've gotten into these Pacifica belt buckles.
Yeah.
This is 1978. It's legitimate, right?
That was the logo on one of their greatest hits albums.
Thank you very much.
The two record set.
But it's blue and gold.
Right.
And the theme was Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
And Putin drinks light beer.
Right.
And we're here doing the Pravda thing. You want to come around? My wife looks like a canary. What is she? She looks like a St. Louis Billiken, right? Wait, who has this color scheme?
I think it was St. Louis.
St. Louis Blues.
Yeah, St. Louis.
You look like Gretzky in the 90s is what you look like. Tom Gavin is here. We're Pravda. Today it's Pravda, but it's always Heavy Seas. Hugh's been here doing this, brewing this beer for these folks in Ukraine. It's an American red ale. It's an amazing story, and it's brought some friends together. And it's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. We're letting ourselves play. It's Betty Boop scratch offs. I'm getting low, Roz. Make sure you check this out. It's good to see
you. Yeah.
You want to talk any? I mean, back in the day, it would be like, my Sox are better than your Orioles and like all that. Does baseball still matter to you?
Oh, it does. But I wish I had the time. I don't have the time to follow it as close.
Once they got rid of Mookie Betts, what's the point, right?
You know, the industry, certainly the industry has changed drastically since you and I first met.
Oh, man, baseball was our life, right?
What?
I went to baseball games with you.
Yep.
No doubt I went to Oriole games with you in 92,
right.
93, 94. Because I had tickets. You had tickets. And sometimes
I
was your employee, but not really an employee.
No.
I was more like an associate, is what I would say.
We were close friends, and maybe close.
But you offered me your tickets. I know you offered me your tickets now that I'm thinking about it.
Right. I'm positive about the Orioles, and I know that might be a topic.
It says Baltimore positive
for
right
debate,
here.
And they brought some incredible minds in from Houston. And maybe this is going to take some time. But remember, when I was growing up, the Red Sox were a second division club up until 1967. And then they started catching on after that.
Or as Bob Ryan would say, the impossible dream.
Right. But it was they were thinking about moving the team prior to 66. And then the summer.
Really?
Yeah, well, it was in Bob's book. And
really? Man, this stuff I don't know that I need to know.
There was 5,000-6,000 people in the stands for many a baseball game in Boston in 64 and 65. And then the summer of Yaz.
Lomborg, right?
Lomborg came up in late 66. So, you know, Petrucelli and Lomborg and Dick Williams was the guy that went and kicked. Well,
came
that came
Cleveland,
a little later, but
right?
You're right. But they made some great trades. The team in the front office in Boston now, Chaim Bloom and the rest of his staff, and then with Cora, the field manager, they weren't supposed to do as well as they did the last two seasons. Watch that franchise. But I think that the Orioles are not that far away. I may be the only one, but I believe in Baltimore baseball.
You're not the only one. Moeller comes on a couple times a week.
Yeah.
Believes that. Tom Gavin is here. He is my friend doing real estate. I told my wife she'd love this. She's clapping for you. That's pretty good.
Well, New Hampshire girl, I grew up right over the border in Massachusetts.
All right, not too far,
yeah.
I dated a Vermont girl once. It was a long time ago. New Hampshire.
I dated a lot when I worked up there.
The Granite State, baby.
Yeah.
Live free or die. We're down here at Heavy Seas. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery and our friends at Goodwill Industries, getting together with old friends. Tom Gavin here. If you remember the Tom Gavin DJ Delights, we've been friends a long, long time. Baseball and through Penn Gillette. And I hope it's not the last time I see you soon.
It will be.
Crab cake sometime soon.
You need somebody to have a conversation with. This lady's got my number.
The Coopers North folks are here. Samantha's going to be here talking about crab cakes and Patrick Russell's crab cake as well. Big appreciation to everything we do here. I haven't plugged Wise Markets as well. I had a little thing this week about fruits and vegetables. I was meant to talk to you about like strawberries and chocolate strawberries. We got to talk to a little strawberry. Okay, all right, good. That was 3 months ago now. It's April. No April Fools. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore positive.